it'll say that we're going to be in 1 John and in John. So what I'm going to do is lump all of this together, and I'm going to start in 1 John chapter 2 and read verses 3 through 6. Then I'm going to bounce backward to John chapter 14 and read verses 1 through 24, because I think it's important for us to have this context as we talk about what it really means to love someone and love our God. Okay, so let's look at this. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. I think this is going to come up. Not the whole thing, but just that portion. We know that we've come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth isn't in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we're in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. John 14, verses 1 through 24. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me as well. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it weren't so, I would have told you, or would I have told you that I'm going away to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come back and welcome you into my presence so that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Lord, said Thomas, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip says to him, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus replied, Philip, I've been with you all this time, and still you don't know me. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father's in me? The words I say to you, I don't speak on my own. Instead, it's the Father dwelling in me, performing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father's in me. Or at least believe on the count of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I'm doing. He'll do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father, and I'll do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot receive him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you do know him, for he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I'll come to you. In a little while, the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you'll also live. On that day, you'll know that I'm in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, asked him, Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself to us and not to the world? I'm going to pause there because that's a really important question, isn't it? Jesus, why tell us these things and not share it with everybody else? It reminds me of what we just spoke about earlier this morning during our welcome about Jesus, why talk in parables, right? Jesus, why are you going to tell us this and not tell the world? Well, let's look, because I think this is important for all of us to hold on to, because none of us are those guys, are we? Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me doesn't keep my words. The word that you hear is not my own, but it's from the Father who sent me. Jesus is saying, whoa. Once again, you're not getting it. I'm not just telling you this. This is for everyone. And it's for you, and it's for you. and it's for me, and it's for us all. That if we choose to follow God, God will reside in us, and we will do the things that Jesus did. We'll do the things that Jesus did. So God said to love me is to keep my commandments. Can we agree on that? To love me is to keep my commandments. Now, I got really interested when I read that because I think a lot of us bottom line people, we kind of just stop there and we go, all right, to love God is to keep his commandments. So all I need to do is figure out the commandments. And if I keep the commandments, then I'm loving God well. Well, then let me give you the bottom line for this conversation. So let's just back up to John chapter 13. Because this is the command that he's giving them before this big speech that he gives them. Okay, so we go back to John chapter 13. We read verses 34 through 35. A new command I give you. Love one another. Love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. There's your command right there. You know, so when I think about this vision that our church has of love God, love each other, and serve the world, I almost think that there could be like a love God and then a colon, right? And then two bullet points under it. Love God, love his church, love each other, and serve the world. We love God by loving each other and serving the world. We love God by keeping his commandments. And then we think about the greatest commandment, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. If you want to love God, you have to love others. You cannot do it without it. Right? I can be a good neighbor without loving God, but I can't love God without being a good neighbor. I think that one's important, so I'll say it again. I can be a good neighbor without loving God. I can help my neighbor change his tire. I can bring food over there when they're sick. But I cannot love God without loving my neighbor. Because God would say, Paul, if you don't love your neighbor, your love for me, it doesn't exist. Because in order to love me, not only do you have to obey me, you have to know me. I didn't cry at my uncle's funeral because I knew him. I cried at my uncle's funeral because I knew them. And knowing is required for loving. Bring it back to an analogy I believe we've used before, or maybe my memory is bad, but when we were pregnant with our first child, with Jaden, I didn't love him until he was born. Like, I love the idea of being a dad, but I didn't love him really until I got to know him. And as I've gotten to know him, that love has gotten painfully deep. Painfully deep. But there are some people, you know, you didn't have relationships with your father or your mother or grandparents or other people. And you'd go, you know what, I want to love them and I love a portion of them, but I don't love them as deeply as I want to because it just feels like I don't even know them. And isn't that why many marriages fall apart? Isn't that the excuse that we hear? We didn't really know each other anymore. And because I didn't know him anymore, I don't think I love him anymore. Or because I don't know her anymore, we just kind of drifted apart. And I don't think that I love her anymore. In order to love, we must know. And knowing is more than just knowing rules and regulations. If you are to know God, I want to just give you, I think we're getting there. I want to give you a couple of thoughts in thinking about what it is to love God and to keep his commandments. To truly keep God's commandments, you need to dig into the why they exist. I know that for many of us, in some of our parenting times, we just said, hey, just do it because I'm your dad. Or just do it because I'm your mom. Or do it because I said so, right? And that's enough when our child is two. But it's not good enough when they're 12 or when they're 15. Because if they don't know why they're doing the good things that you call them to do, when they leave your home, they will quit doing the good things that you've called them to do. Because sometimes good things just aren't practical. And I think that's why it's easy to do the God stuff in the building. Right? Because it's what we do, and we don't really have to think about it. So on Sundays, it's kind of easy to do the God stuff, to get up and get dressed fancy and go to worship and sing and have Bible study and take our communion and those kind of things. But it's the weekly stuff that's hard, because it's the weekly stuff that's hard to understand. And we haven't maybe meditated on God's Word. We haven't let it soak in, and we haven't thought about, why does God want me to turn the other cheek? What real value is in that, aside from me to being double bruised? Why does God want me to give all my stuff away to the poor all the time? I think about that story with the rich young ruler, and he was a bottom line kind of guy, right? Jesus, what's it going to take for me to get to heaven? Just give it to me straight, because I've obeyed these commands, but for some reason I feel like this gnawing inside of me that it's not all done. And so Jesus goes, I'll tell you what, sell everything you own, give to the poor, and then follow me, and it's all good. Us bottom line guys, we read that and we're like, okay, I just need to give everything away. That's not what God is saying. He's not calling every individual on the earth to give everything away. He's calling us to understand his heart for the poor and not hold on to our things so tightly that they become God and not him. So that we recognize that every good and perfect gift, it comes from above, and it's a tool to be used by the kingdom of heaven in the lives of every person that we come into contact with. That's why Jesus said, man, the Sabbath was made for man. Man wasn't made for the Sabbath. I just didn't make this rule so that you would just obey this rule and not think about it. I made this rule because this rule exists to bring about changes in your life. And if you will take a day and you'll step back just and stop, just as I stopped, and you will think about the kingdom that exists in your life, and think about all that I'm doing in your life, then you will receive appreciation. You'll be empowered to serve others in a new way. You'll receive refreshing through the grace that you understand more deeply. And you can be a person of rest in the life of other people who do not know rest. Because you'll know what it means when I say my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So to know God requires more than just rote obedience. It requires meditation and digging in and going deep in the words of God. So we look for God's will even more deeply than we look for God's rules. Because all of us, if we're honest, there's some times when higher rules apply over lower rules, aren't there? When your child is sick, you speed to get to the hospital, don't you? You break a rule because there's a rule that exists that is love that is bigger than that other rule. And you figure love will cover a multitude of sins, don't you? And God says, think about what I mean when I say I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Spend some time on that. Think about my heart and think about what I mean. Think about why I'm calling you to this. And as you know me, you'll know my will. And you'll be able to navigate the life that I've called you to navigate. Anyone who would follow Jesus must walk as Jesus did. And so I want to give you a challenge this week. In our attempts to know God on a deeper level, in our attempts to make none of God's hugs awkward, some of them are painful, right? Sometimes God squeezes a little too hard and we wish not to have the hardships that we have. I want to challenge you to look at the life of Jesus and pick one thing that Jesus did this week that you're not currently doing and try to live that out. And so maybe some of us need to associate more with sinners. I'm not saying associate in sinful behavior, okay? But I'm saying maybe some of us need to associate more with sinners. Maybe some of us don't have any friendships that exist outside this church family. And that might be a call for you to walk in a footstep of Jesus and cultivate one so that you have more opportunities to share Jesus with others. Maybe some of us need to make a point to allow interruption to occur in our lives. This is a difficult one for me. When I'm going and I have a place to go, I like to get there, no matter the obstacle. Jesus did not turn away from interruptions. He turned towards them. He was willing to set aside his own timetable to turn water into wine for his mother. Maybe some of us need to allow more interruption into our lives in the name of Jesus. I'm not saying become scatterbrained. I'm saying see an interruption as opportunity when opportunity comes. And there's many, many more. And you can get into Scripture and pick a behavior and attitude of Jesus to attempt to live out. Because loving God, it takes more than just our mind and obedience to this list. It actually requires our heart to be involved in it. And, you know, some of us, we like to not get our heart involved in things. We don't necessarily like to feel. I don't want to be empathetic towards this situation because having my own feelings are hard enough. And the God that gave you feelings says, hey, you know what? You can never heal what you refuse to feel. You'll never be able to heal what you refuse to feel. And he says, hey, some things are for now and not forever. Some hardships are for now and not forever. Some sacrifices are for now and not forever. And he says, hey, according to the law of the harvest, you'll reap what you sow. And if you want a relationship with me, you're going to have to sow the seeds of relationship. And he says, hey, the path that you're on, it's going somewhere. And as long as you're on that path, it's taking you to that place, regardless of where you want that path to take you. And so I ask you, are you on a path towards knowing God? Because many of the religions of the world today would tell us that we cannot know God, that God is unknowable, that he's too big, or he doesn't exist, or he doesn't care. And Jesus gave us a unique piece of good news. He says, you can know God by knowing me. And you can know me by walking in my footsteps. And if you choose to know me, not only will you know me, you'll be embodied by me. I will fill you up, even those empty places that exist in your life. And so there's a step that you can take to begin this walking with Jesus and choosing to give your life to him. And baptism. And if you haven't made that choice yet, I just want to invite you to think about it or even make that choice today. Because those footprints are footprints worth sinking your toes into. And if you look at your life and you say, man, you know what? I've just been a bottom line guy. Or I've just been a bottom line girl. And I haven't really got into this knowing God thing. And you want some help with that. Or you need to repent of that. And you need prayer. In just a moment, you can come up and we'll pray and walk together. If you've given up on knowing God altogether and you want to make a change, and rejoin a community of people who are trying to know God. We're flawed. We are messed up, y'all. I'm socially awkward, and I'm the one on the stage. We invite you to come and make that commitment, or make that recommitment, or make that confession as together we stand up and we sing.